Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for once again tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to a journey today in the next half hour with some issues that I believe should appeal to and cause each citizen to be alert and aware of the season and the time in which we're living in today. We're going to talk about America at the crossroads. I believe we're looking at a fork in the road or a crossroads, either way you would like to describe it. But we're looking at a situation today in America where it can change the trajectory and the destiny of our nation, of our states, as nothing else in my lifetime that I have witnessed. Before we get into the monologue and then the dialogue in relationship to the issues today, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That was his discussion, his direction, his conversation, his counsel with his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where he said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we seek answers, when we seek to understand the truth, we need to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God provides wisdom to understand the issues and what He would have us to do in facing life's issues. Before we get into the issues today, let me remind you, Sunday's coming. We'd like to involve you and introduce to you the ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to be in our worship services on Sunday morning. Bible study is at 9:30, and the regular morning worship service is at 10:45. And at 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings, we have another worship service. We'd love to have you join us for any one of these opportunities, Sunday morning at 9:30, Sunday morning at 10:45, and again at 7 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Be delighted to include you. We've met you on there. We'd love to meet you in person in the worship time. Keep in mind, we do biblical expository preaching, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. We also have only God-honoring music with words that you can hear, with understanding that the Holy Spirit can use to speak to our hearts through what I simply call God-honoring music. So if you're looking for a place of worship like that, we'd be delighted to have you. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you also this morning that you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and you can jump right in at any point on the dialogue and discussion. We were talking about the amendments, the 13 different amendments that's on the ballot for the state of Florida, and we covered five of those on the broadcast just yesterday. In a moment, we'll look at the balance of those amendments, or at least the number of them that our time will allow us to do today. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into that, let me remind you that every Christian should pray today. Every Christian should be praying now. The latest news is that just by a very narrow margin, the vote was taken to allow the Kavanaugh nomination to go to full Senate confirmation, and that will be done tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. We need to pray seriously, ladies and gentlemen. We need to pray today. We need to pray tomorrow. We need to pray for God's intervention in the Senate process for Judge Kavanaugh and for the Supreme Court Justice, as he will be taking that seat. We've all watched and listened as the Socialist Democrats in their attempts to thwart the constitutional rule of law and the Senate rules. We've watched them as they've tried to drag their feet and do everything possible to derail Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation. As you know, yes, you recall, before President Trump ever nominated Judge Kavanaugh from a list of 25 possible candidates, the left liberals said they would not vote for any of them. So does it surprise you? Does it cause us to be amazed in some way, staggered by the fact that they have come up with every barrage of evil, wicked ammunition against Judge Kavanaugh, trying to strike and tear down and destroy? Then, after Judge Kavanaugh was nominated, ladies and gentlemen, the debate and the diatribe and the dirt and the demands for delay were just endless. And even after Kavanaugh's seventh FBI background check last week, the Socialist Democrats are against the judge. Don't let any rhetoric fool you, ladies and gentlemen. The assassination attempts to derail Judge Kavanaugh is over the big A, abortion. The left is willing to destroy the judge and his family and his future to preserve the present status of Roe versus Wade. They're petrified that somehow, some way, as a conservative judge, he will come in and at some point in time in the future rule against Roe versus Wade. And by the way, it's my prayer that he does. It's my prayer that somehow, some way, in my lifetime, prayerfully, hopefully, we can see murder by way of abortion ended in America. We've slain 61 million human beings in the mother's womb. We've killed them, and yet we have, under our law system, legal system in America, we go by the Bible, thou shalt not kill, but somehow, some way, that's not viewed as killing. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the very reason they're against Judge Kavanaugh. And as believers, we should realize that this is a spiritual battle. This is a battle between good and evil. This is ultimately a battle between God and Satan being played out in the lives of human beings. And may I remind us, we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. We must be armed with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 tells us. We must have on the shield of faith. We must stand against the enemies and the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God and the enemies of the process that God would have for government today. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to pray seriously that God would intervene. Just as I believe, ladies and gentlemen, God intervened on November the 8th of 2016, when he gave us President Donald J. Trump. I believe it was God's intervention. And so I'm asking you to pray and ask God to intervene. But ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on our urgent must-do list is the moral ethical citizens, for every Christian, we must prepare for the most important election in my lifetime. That's November the 6th. That's about 30 days from now. The question is, are you ready? We have Florida governor's races up. We have several major races that involve a major Senate seat to remove a lost left-wing liberal, Bill Nelson, and the present governor, Rick Scott, is running against him. We have, ladies and gentlemen, also two candidates running for governor in the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, which is a conservative Republican. And we have also running against him a socialist, left-wing liberal for governor. And may I remind us, we're going to talk about these two candidates in a little more detail in next week's broadcast, because I believe we're in a life-or-death struggle for the soul of America in this election. I believe we're in a life-or-death battle for the constitutional republic that we now enjoy. I believe we're in a struggle to the end, ladies and gentlemen, for what God would have as a God-honoring citizenship in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just as in a spiritual setting, the people in a congregation will never rise spiritually above the level of its pastor and spiritual leadership. It's an impossibility. And so also in a nation will never rise above that leadership that God gives us, because God has ordained government. And in that government, God says that government is a minister of God, and it is a minister to prosecute and to punish evil and to presently protect the good. And that's what God has given us government for. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be an active part. We need to be salt and light. As Christians, we ought to take a stand, come out of the closet, be seen and be heard, and recognize that we have an awesome responsibility constitutionally. We have a responsibility spiritually. We have a responsibility before God to be a part of the society in which we're living. I understand we're aliens passing through. I understand that we're not citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven. But we're passing through. And while we are in this world, passing through as citizens, as aliens in another kingdom, we need to be aware that we are salt and light. And we can impact this world in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, on the ballot that you'll have to vote on November the 6th in the state of Florida, as I've already said before, I'm against. Listen, may I just say it right up front, say it again. There are 13 amendments, constitutional amendments being proposed. I'm against all 13 of them. Up until a couple of weeks ago, I was for two of them. And after further research and plummeting the depths a little more in the study and the research of these amendments, I'm against all 13 of them. Let me just say that very clearly. I'm against, and I will vote no on all 13 of the constitutional amendments. Now, I realize there's some spiritual organization in the state of Florida that's put out emails to 50, 60,000 people in the state of Florida recommending some of these to be voted yes on by the Christian citizens in the state. And I have not tried to personally contact the groups of the individuals and confront them on any level of saying they're wrong. I'm simply going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm simply telling you what my research shows. I'm simply advising you what I believe would be spiritual advice of what we ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the Florida Constitution has been amended 120 times since 1970. 120 times. We've almost made Swiss cheese, as I call it, out of our state's constitution. We're taking the Constitution and using ballot initiatives by getting petitions signed to put it as a referendum on the ballot. Too many things. We need to have the rule of law. We need to have our congressional system, our House and the Senate in Tallahassee. That's the lawmaking body. We ought not to try to make laws with a lobbyist group or with a power broker group, with deep-pocketed groups like the Morgan Law Firm. John Morgan is the one that, out of his own pocket, funded and bankrolled the petition drive to get a referendum on the ballot in 2016 to allow pot to be sold in the state of Florida. It passed by a 71% vote because it was touted as being marijuana from medical use. Never mind the fact that we already had a law on the books in the state of Florida for real, legal medical marijuana. But no, that wasn't sufficient. And he knew what he was doing because now there's already a suit against the state of Florida to allow medical marijuana not just to be ingested by the syrup from the marijuana that is the proper portion of the hallucinogenic drug, that it be used for medical benefits. Now they're wanting to vape it. They wanted to be able to puff it. They wanted to be able to use it as recreational marijuana. It takes just one time that the camel gets his nose in the tent that ultimately the camel's in the tent. And that's where we're headed with that issue, ladies and gentlemen. We're engaged in that spiritual battle, and we need to understand that the battle today in the state of Florida is multifaceted, just as it is across our nation. But, ladies and gentlemen, with the Constitution in the state of Florida being modified and adopted and changed and amended 120 times since 1970, and yet our federal Constitution, our national Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, has only 27 amendments, just 27. And there's already been 120. To the state of Florida Constitution. Many times the power brokers with millions and millions of dollars would get petitions signed under the color of truth and deceive we the people, will deceive the public into making some legal something legal via the constitutional amendment while knowing that it will never pass muster as a law being passed out of the House and Senate in Tallahassee. You know what I'm saying? Many times these power brokers, these deep-pocketed movers and shakers like the gambling industry and the animal rights organization, and I could go on and on with the do-gooder organizations and the those that are not do-gooders, but those that literally want to continue to fill their pockets, as John Morgan and his law firm with the pot in the state of Florida. That's marijuana. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's called weed. It's a hallucinogen, a drug. It is dangerous, and it's going to destroy the state of Florida just as it has California and Colorado if we're not careful in the days before us and the years before us. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've already reviewed Amendments 1 through 5, and I want to look at, verses. I want us to look at Amendments 6 through 13. And Amendments 6 through 13, let me tell you up front, these were all placed on the ballot by the Constitutional Revision Commission. The Constitutional Revision Commission in the state of Florida meets every 20 years. They analyze the Constitution, and they have a major to-and-fro. They met many times during the past year all over the state of Florida in their concaves, where they would get together and have dialogue and discussion about what ought to be changed on the Constitution. There were very, and may I emphasize that again, very limited number of conservatives, very limited number of those that are active professing Christians seated on that commission. So you can understand the end result. But constitutional amendments number 6 through 13 were all placed on the ballot by the Constitutional Revision Commission. And so let me just simply hurriedly say, constitutional amendment number 6, it's the rights of crime victims and judges. That's the way it's worded, the rights of crime victims and judges. This amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is flawed because it combines three different issues into one amendment. It's called the bundling of these issues. And the bundling of these issues, let me just simply say this right off. Here's some verbiage from some court cases in relationship to that. Bundling of cases. In one court case, former Supreme Court Justice Harry Lee Anstead and a co-plaintiff are trying to kill six birds with one stone. They're talking about the six different amendments that are put on by the Constitutional Revision Commission. They argue that six different amendments that voters will face in November have unconstitutionally bundled completely separate issues together. Further, they say, this bundling forces a voter to vote yes for a measure the voter opposes in order to vote yes for a measure that the voter favors. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing that I think is so onerous about this issue with the bundling of these constitutional amendments. And so therefore, the majority of these that I'm going to talk about today, and hopefully we'll have time to zip through them all so that you will know how to vote. And let me say, I am prayerful that you're listening. I'm prayerful if you're where you can sit down and take notes, you'll do so. We're planning on codifying this in printed form and sending it out via our email list next week and placing it in the bulletin for our people in the congregation to see. And I urge you, if you're on the email list, to take this and share it with others when you receive it, because it's vital that we understand the issues. But constitutional amendment number 6, the right of crime victims and judges. This amendment, as I said, is flawed because it contains three different issues all in one amendment. Yes, crime victims should be presented, should have rights. But when linked with two other issues, we must vote no, no, no. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Victims' rights amendment could have very serious impacts on the rights of someone that is simply accused by a crime, accused of a crime. Very good illustration today, ladies and gentlemen, on this Amendment 6. And you hear see a lot of television ads on this, and it shows a scary scene where a woman is being stalked by some would-be person to harm her, and then it says victims should have rights also. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have victims' rights. That's part of our jurisprudence today. But just like Judge Kavanaugh, he's been accused, and yet there's been no trial, there's been no adjudication, there's been no determination. It's just the accuser having the right to accuse. Ladies and gentlemen, if this is taken and if this is approved on Amendment Number 6, it's going to have serious, serious downstream implications. Let me just read you from a legal perspective on this. The new law would grant Florida victims and their families increased rights during the prosecution of cases. Things like the rights to restitution, the right and of reasonable protection, and most notably, listen, the right to refuse depositions or any discovery request. You hear that? That says that the accused would not have to sit under a deposition, would not have to have sworn oath statements, would not have to make discovery, answer discovery request, and would simply be, I said it, that settles it, he's guilty. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want that kind of jurisprudence in the state of Florida, then we're not on the same page, we're not on the same wavelength at all. This would force the accused to have to prove his or her innocence rather than the rule of law, where innocent until proven guilty. This further states, and let me just read you a lengthy statement from some legal minds. This article says, it pits victims' rights against defendants' rights, creating such a conflict means that defendant's rights may lose in certain circumstances. This result accepts that defendant's rights against the state will be weakened or unenforced in some cases, potentially at significant cost to the constitutional due process. Listen. This article says 30 years ago, Florida voters proposed to create a new amendment to the state constitution. The new law, which soon passed, included right for the victim of a crime to be heard when relevant at all crucial stages of criminal proceedings. To the extent that these rights do not interfere with the constitutional rights of the accused. And the last clause is crucial there, ladies and gentlemen, that it does not interfere with the rights of the accused. The amendment Florida voters would be seeing this year would repeal the 1988 law and impact the rights of the accused. Further, and I quote, "The problem lies not in what is said, but what is not said. The language does not disclose that the chief purpose of Revision 6 is to take away or reduce the protection that the Florida system today provides an accused in a criminal proceeding," end quote. And further, this article states, "The separate cases were brought against the proposed amendment voters would be facing this year, but they have since been joined together. The court ordered an amendment removed from the ballot. The state appealed to the Florida Supreme Court. Oral arguments were held for this case on September the 5th. We're now waiting the final decision from the Supreme Court on this amendment number 6, which would absolutely put the state of Florida in the position that we're watching Judge Kavanaugh sit under today, where he's accused and assumed guilty because he's not been able to prove himself as being innocent. This would provide, ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say, this would provide things that would seriously affect the person that's being accused and yet not guilty. The portion of the judge's request to retire at the age of 70. And that's just a little infinitesimal point there that they wanted to add on. And it's where the judges would be present law in the state of Florida. They retire at age 70. This would move it up to 75. I think the age 70 is sufficient. I think there comes a time when anybody in government ought to be able to sit down and let somebody else come in. But ladies and gentlemen, this is something that I find onerous on the face of it, is that Amendment 6. Vote no on Amendment 6, ladies and gentlemen. Amendment 7, the first responders and military members' survivor benefits, public colleges and universities. The three issues bundled again in this one amendment. Amendment 7 has three different issues bundled. Anytime there's a bundling on these issues, ladies and gentlemen, and the majority of these amendments have bundled issues. And it's designed for a purpose so that there's one issue that you'll like, and you like that issue, and you'll say, okay, I'll vote yes because I want this. But it then has the most onerous portions in there that you're having to vote for that otherwise you would be against if it weren't a separate issue. I say vote no. We are thankful for all of our first responders, but we just cannot continue to carve out certain groups of citizens and provide free college, free education, free items or other things just simply because they are doing a good job. Ladies and gentlemen, it is possible that there are major, major flaws when we see that. This amendment, ladies and gentlemen, would require colleges and universities and trustees of those universities to agree to increase fees to offset the free education that's being offered to the first responders' families. Hey, I just want to understand, there's nothing free. Nothing free. Someone is going to pay for it. And ladies and gentlemen, it's unfair for your kids, my kids, grandkids, or others in the state of Florida to pay higher tuition just to give someone something that's free. And may I remind us, we have enough today that's being pushed as being free under the socialist system that's being pushed. In fact, just discovered today that 40% of millennials say they are socialists today. They've never been taught what socialism is in the brainwashing process in our colleges and universities. So therefore, they think free is free. Free is good. But somebody's got to pay for it. So I say no on Amendment 7. No on Amendment 7, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article on that issue. Amendment 7 would require employers of first responders to provide death benefits to surviving spouses if the first responders lose their lives on official duty. Ladies and gentlemen, they already have that. It's already in effect. That is a redundancy. Regarding the military, the state would have to provide certain death benefits to surviving spouses of military members accidentally, unlawfully, or intentionally killed. In addition, the state would have to waive certain educational expenses for surviving children or spouses who are pursuing a certificate or a career in a certificate fashion, undergraduate education and postgraduate education. The amendment also makes it more difficult, this article says, to raise college fees by requiring a supermajority vote by both the university boards of trustees and the state board of governors, as opposed to the simple state system of higher education in the Constitution. Leave the Constitution alone. Leave our state educational system alone. Don't start. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if this passes, there'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of enabling legislation that'll have to be passed by our legislators just to put this into effect. It's not a matter many times of just what would be called the law, or in this case, the amendment. It is the enabling legislation and the verbiage and all of the extraneous information that goes into the process of the finalization of this. And many times the bureaucrats sit down at the desk and determine what they're going to word based on what they perceive this amendment really means. Say no on the changing of our Constitution. It's been amended 120 times, and I think 120 times should be the bingo number, or not to be changed anymore. Then amendment number 8. This amendment's already been stricken by the courts as illegally worded. I am of the opinion that there should have been cases brought to the courts about several of these amendments because of the illegal wording. Ladies and gentlemen, the ones that are the movers and shakers for putting amendments on like this will simply give us, we the people, the wording that they want us to understand, the feel-good portion, and the law requires there be a 90 words or less summary on the ballot, and that's what they're doing. But they can pick and choose and summarize it as they perceive it, and they're going to perceive it on the basis they believe would be necessary to get a vote yes. So Amendment 8 is no longer on the ballot. But on Amendments number 1 through 7, thus far I've said no. Amendment number 9 prohibits offshore oil and gas drilling. Also prohibits vaping in enclosed workplaces. Again, I say no. You see, the bundling of two issues is, I think, totally onerous. Number one, I'm against drugs. I'm against drug use. I'm against the vaping. We have kids today, and I can drive down the street, and you've seen it too. The car window's open, and huge puffs of blue smoke coming out. That's where these dudes are puffing. They're smoking weed or something, and they're vaping. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be illegal in every setting and place, and in most cases, it already is. So this is another trick I'll ploy so that moral ethical folks and Christians in particular will say, I'm against vaping, and therefore I'm going to vote yes on it. I say vote no, because, ladies and gentlemen, I am for Florida extracting all of our natural resources. This amendment is pushed by our well-known anti-oil, anti-extraction of our resources by the environmentalist wackos. Let's protect the birds and the bees and the trees and yet kill the babies in the womb group of folks, ladies and gentlemen. Vaping is just simply a trick to cause us to vote yes on the issue. I say vote no. It is something to cause moral, ethical Christians in the state of Florida to vote yes on. But I say vote no because we need to be able to extract our resources and utilize them, whether onshore or offshore. I'm for allowing that to be done. We've got enough laws in the on the federal books today to allow the extraction of any resources, any mineral, any oil, gases, et cetera, to be done where it can be done, where it's safe and secure and protects the public. This is a move by the environmentalists. I say vote no, no, no on Amendment 9. Amendment 10, where it says state and local government structure and operation. Ladies and gentlemen, Amendment 10 is designed to take away local rule. It's designed to put local rule in the hands of the bureaucrats in Tallahassee. I say vote no. If this bill is passed, hundreds and hundreds of pages of enabling legislation will be imposed on the people, and this amendment will shift the local government operations and decisions away from you and I as citizens in Duval County and of Jacksonville, Florida, to the state authorities. We must say no and continue the local rule and not transfer it to Tallahassee. Amendment 11 property rights, removal of obsolete provisions, criminal statutes. Again, there are three things bundled together, and the key issue is the amendment is the removal of the state's constitutional language, including provisions that stops aliens, that's ineligible citizens, from buying property in the state of Florida. Our U.S. Constitution says that they should not be able to. I think it would be onerous for us to change our state constitution to allow those that are ineligible as illegal aliens to buy property. That is, those that have already been adjudicated as felons and they're ineligible to buy property in the state of Florida, we ought to say no and not say yes. So on Amendment 11, I say vote no, no, no. And simply put, for the next two issues, Amendment 13, 11, 12, and 13, vote no, 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 ladies and gentlemen, on all 13 of the amendments. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.